Picking it with Kay and Clay. Picking it with Kay and Clay. Picking it with Kay and Clay. Picking it with Kay and Clay.
Hey, everybody. Thank you again. You know, I'm always so grateful when you guys tune in, whether you're watching us or if you're just listening to us. We are forever grateful. And thank you, because, you know, you could be doing something else right now. So this is another episode of Kicking It With Kay and Clay. Again, I am your girl, Kay Marie. And this series has just been so phenomenal. Learning so much stuff and so much good information coming forth with my guests. You know, we kicked off the series with Kim Brooks, you know, best-selling author, minister of singles, with our first episode about singles, you know, being a complete and whole single before you even entertain someone else in your life. And then we dropped last week, we dropped the episode, episode two, about dating after 50. And I did that because I know a lot of women, little older women, who they're saying that it's, you know, it's hard out here. Like the dating pool is kind of like, it's like slim pickings, so to speak. But we know that it's some good people out here, some good men out here, but you know, a lot of them just frustrated. So I had on my boss, she was gracious enough to come on the show last week and talk about dating after 50 and all the shenanigans that, you know, she run into and everything. So that was fun. Check that out. And so today we are going to be talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking to engaged couples, because y'all know I am engaged. So this is going to be really, really good. We have someone on that is qualified to speak about the subject, you know, just what to expect in a marriage and just have a successful marriage and all that good stuff. So y'all know, look, y'all know I'm real with y'all. So you see me looking over to the side, I'm reading my teleprompter, okay? There's no shame. Look, I'm an everyday person, you know, I just happen to have a camera and a mic, you know, so don't be saying, why'd you keep looking to the side? That's what I'm doing. I'm reading my teleprompter. So without further ado, let me introduce today's guest. Saida Spencer Artist is a marriage and family therapist with a passion in working with individuals, couples, blended families, and groups to offer a safe, non-judgmental space for healing to begin. She is the owner of Focus Therapy Clinic in Southfield, Michigan, and has a podcast, Fix Your Focus, Let's Chat Therapy with Saida, which focuses on empowerment and the spoken and unspoken conversations of women. Her goal is to provide a safe and non-judgmental place for couples and families to process and heal. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome my guest, Saida. Hi, Saida, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. You know, I always thank my guests for coming on the show, because I know that, you know, we're all busy in life, and I know that time is precious. You know, it's the one thing that we cannot get back. So I am always grateful for my guests who come on and take just a few minutes out their time to talk to my audience. Thank you so much.
Of course.
So just a little background, how did you get into counseling married couples, blended families, and families, period?
So when I decided that I wanted to be a therapist, I looked at the different options that I could do. You know, mm-hmm. Do I want to be a social worker? Do I want to be a psychologist? Or do I want to be a marriage and family therapist? And that's what I chose. For me, the whole framework is just looking at the entire unit, the entire family, to say, okay, is this why, you know, I'm experiencing this? Is this why this is affecting me? We often say jokingly, like mama issues or daddy issues, yeah, or family issues. But in reality, that stuff isn't really a joke, right? Because no. it applies to real life. I often tell my clients we learn how to be in relationship from what we see or what we didn't see. And so that comes in to when we start dating and what our experiences look like. Working with couples is really a passion for me. Mm-hmm. I love to be able to see just people grow, like stuff you may not even realize about your partner that you missed or you didn't know. That's just like a light bulb that goes off.
Do you find it that, because, you know, men sometimes get a bad rap. Do you find it that they are more apprehensive in coming to therapy with their spouse or with their soon to be spouse? Do you find like there is a little resistance there?
It can be. You know, I think a large part of therapy is just like a doctor, right? So you got to go to the doctor. You go to one, it doesn't work, you don't give up and stop going. And I think a large part of finding a therapist is finding someone that works for you and your partner. Mm-hmm. It has to be the good fit. You have to feel a vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, even on initial sessions, I'll ask before I won't assume, like, so are we booking the next session? Was this good? Was it as bad as what you thought it might be?
Right.
You know, asking those kinds of questions makes people feel comfortable. And that's important, because I'm not even going to say that men get a bad rap. I think we don't always think about some of the elements that men may have to deal with and how that impacts how they show up.
That's true.
In a relationship. Just like men may not always think about the things that women have to deal with and how they show up in a relationship. Having empathy for your partner.
That's true. That's true. What are some of the most common issues that you see with, engaged couples? Because I think, what do you think about premarital counseling? You think that's a must?
I do think it's a must. I think it's so needed. You know, I see couples who didn't have premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. And when we go back down the line and we talk about communication, right? Because communication is a major, major thing. Mm-hmm. So when we go back down the line and we look at everything, and I say, well, when did that start? Like, when was the first time you even realized that was a thing? And, oh, well, before we got married. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did we talk about it? No, we didn't talk about it. So how did we address it? Well, we didn't, because I figured it would just go away. Mm. You know, being able to have that conversation in the beginning, to talk about expectations, to talk about finances, how are we doing our finances? I mean, you know, just keeping it real, to talk about sex.
Yeah.
How relevant? What are we doing? What's your love language? What's mine? What's our weekly expectation? Those things are super real.
So how long do you do or suggest that premarital counseling should last?
I think a couple should at least do 3 to 5 sessions.
3 to 5.
Because it depends on what we're talking about. If you're coming in and you are getting, and it's the same thing sometimes, even if a person or a couple wants to get premarital counseling through the church, you know, I, as a clinician, I bring in religion if my clients are comfortable.
Okay.
But I'm not going to bring it in if my clients are comfortable, because everyone is different.
Right.
And that would mean, you know, that I am making that safe space for them. But if we need to talk about finances and that discussion has never been had, or if we need to talk about how the communication happens when an argument is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, let's talk about that. Like, you know, what are some effective ways to argue?
So how I approach it, right, is first identifying how you argue and how your spouse or your partner argues, or who steady goes in, you know, with the discussion. Who are we following each other around the house? You know, are we slamming doors?
Right.
Or are we shutting up clothes and we're not talking? Because sometimes you've got one person who's talking at the top of their lungs, but one person who stopped talking altogether.
Yeah.
And neither one of them are healthy. So the best thing to do at times, which can be really difficult, is identifying that something isn't working and how you communicate, and taking the initiative to figure out how to change the way you communicate. Taking a break, a timeout. We calling it right here. You know, the 24-hour rule. Call it to ask, you know, I need a minute because I feel like this is going completely left.
Yeah.
You know, I came in here to say one thing and we on things that happened a month ago. You know, take a break and come back to the conversation. Don't let it not be discussed. Come back. Talk about it. To say, you know, hey, earlier when we were talking about that, I was really affected. It really hurt my feelings. Sometimes we speak in you statements, right? And how defensive do we get when somebody tells, you know, well, you did this. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You know, that creates an even bigger barrier. So, you know, I think of you statements. If that's anything that somebody struggles with, think of you statements as when you were a kid and somebody said, you got an attitude. And your response was, no, I don't. And they said, well, yes, you do. Well, no, I don't. Yes, you do. By the time you're done with that whole thing, what you got?
An attitude.
Exactly. So it works the same way. You know, I would say that is a good way to start managing it. If you don't have a therapist or you're not open to talking to someone, it would be starting to speak from a place of exactly how you feel. Because without vulnerability, there is no growth.
Yeah. I like that.
And if you can't be vulnerable with your partner, who are you vulnerable with?
Exactly. Yeah, you need to open up. I like that. So how, okay, like say we had like a big old pie chart, right? So how important, how would the pie chart be shaded in? How much would it be for communication? I know.
That's like the whole pie chart in a sense, because so think of it like this, right? We typically break down intimacy and finances and goals and all of these things, and we make them individual. But when you think about it, at the root of it, in order to discuss these things, we have to know how to communicate.
True.
If we cannot talk to one another, if we cannot respect one another's space, which is our nonverbal communication, then how do we talk about any of those things?
That's true.
So communication is a large, large piece. Even when you hear people speak about connection, right? In order to connect, I got to feel like it's safe for me to communicate with you. That's our connection.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. So we know that communication is key, key to having a successful marriage. And I know it's something that, you know, it's worked on all the time. You're not going to just get it. Like,
yeah.
It's a continual process, right?
Yes, because we have transitional phases of life, right? Mm-hmm. So think about the couple that started dating in their 20s. What you know when you're 20?
No.
So think about that couple. Or think about the couple that is maybe in their 30s and they are diving off into their careers and they have children and they're trying to manage all of these components, but not really asking for the things that they need. Think about maybe the couple in their 40s where you got kids who might be going to high school or middle school. All of these different transitional periods apply. And just like we go through things individually, our relationships go through things too.
That's true.
Ebbs and flows. And so one of the things that is really, really important, you know, that you could throw on that pie chart is having some foundational principles for your marriage.
What would be an example for some foundational principles? respect. And I know it probably varies from, you know, couple to couple. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, I would say that some of these should just be core values. respect.
Yes.
Emotional intelligence.
Hmm.
Financial intelligence.
Okay.
You know, knowing that my husband may be better at managing finances, or my wife may be better at managing the finances, and having that open conversation so we don't get in a situation and the home is affected.
Yeah.
Or we're married, but I don't know what my spouse made.
Right.
And it may seem foreign, but it's very real.
Hmm. Yeah, because that communication and the finances, those are the doozies, right?
Yeah. Knowing what you want and being clear too, right? Within a relationship, talking about our children, something we want. Are they something we don't want? You know, all of these conversations that seem very difficult at the beginning, but they are very relevant because how often do we hear people say, well, I thought it would change because we're married, because we are committed. But why would something change? Did you not believe me when I showed you exactly who I was in the beginning?
Right. Right. And I think that's something that people get in trouble when they think that they can change someone, or they think that a situation would change. Because I was always taught to, you know, when you are thinking about marrying someone, can you imagine yourself being with them how they are now?
Mm.
You know, it's like if it don't change, are you happy with that? You know, can you see yourself with that? So, but I think a lot of us, just people just go into it like, oh, you know, I don't know. They think marriage is like some sort of magical, enchanted, you know, place or something. But no.
I think it's mixed, right? So I see mixed things.
Okay.
I see certain couples where I felt like it would be this way. I see certain couples where, you know, I always ask a question of, how'd you fall in love with each other? How'd you meet? You know, what you like about each other? And it is a beautiful thing to see a couple just laugh and light up. Like, you know, I remember that time, you know, he was so dope, or she looked good. Like, they can remember that. But then you come back to the reality of where you sit now in just life situations. It's important to keep dating.
Mm.
Yeah. It is so important to keep dating your partner.
Now, how often do, because I've heard, you know, I grew up in a church, so, you know, they have like these marriage conferences and all kind of stuff. And even in the pulpit, you know, I've heard different people say like, oh, you should, you know, date once a week, or, you know, how often do you think is a good amount of time to carve out some time to date your spouse?
So obviously life applies, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, at minimum, I would say put one date a month on the books at minimum. Because, you know, if you're the young mother and you're having a conversation about, well, how are we dating when we got a, you know, a 6-year-old who got to go to bed and I got to nurse this 6-month-old, how can I make all of this happen? So when you take those things into consideration, you can also have periods of, you know, we're going to check in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to check in once a night, or, you know, once a week, try to watch a movie together, or put the kids down at a certain time so we can double back and, you know, do lunch or do dinner or what have you, especially with COVID right now.
Yeah.
You know, it makes things so much more difficult.
Yeah.
But even if you have to take a ride with your partner.
But, you know, we've done that. You know, we just went out just for a drive one day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really nice. Because like you said, it's not much you can do like right now. You have to be creative.
You do have to be creative, but you know, you can plan something. You can make sure that you both are a priority on one another's calendar.
Yeah.
Because at the forefront, you know, make the marriage a priority. Yeah. Make one another a priority.
I like that. So, okay, you have a newly engaged couple sitting in front of you, and they ask the question, what do we need to know to make our marriage successful? What would you tell them?
The first thing I would ask them is, what do they think they need to make their marriage successful?
Okay, I see you do the flip. Okay.
Of course. You know, the other thing I think we would talk about is, what did they see growing up, and what did they feel like worked? What did they like? What didn't they like? Identifying that is important, because that also gives a glimpse into what their version individually would look like in a marriage. And so how does that work with what you and your partner have talked about as you all come into this marriage?
Okay.
And then what do you want? What are the goals?
Mm-hmm.
What can we work on that is relevant to get you to that point? You know, and then if there is a, you know, I worked with a couple before, and there was a question around, well, why do we have to talk about finances? Why must we share those things?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a reply question. A response to the question of, well, they're relevant because that's a part of the we.
Yeah.
No longer an I, not to say that all your money got to go in one lump sum, but how do you break it up to manage your household?
Mm-hmm. And how do you suggest that?
You know, everybody does it different.
Okay.
But I do think that there needs to be an open line of communication when it comes to finances, especially if the goal is to plan for a future.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we put a certain amount with both, you know, individuals put a certain amount in an account to manage the finances for the house, and there's a certain amount for savings,
mm-hmm.
then those two things can go together. Still have your individual, right? Mm-hmm. Because you may still want to go get your nails done, or go hang out and go do brunch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he might want to buy a video game or buy some gym shoes or go mm-hmm. buy the latest and greatest flashy thing at Best Buy.
Right.
Whatever. You know, those things don't come out of that joint account, but at least helps create a vision. And it also makes sure that you both are on the same path.
Okay.
Because how do we create wealth? And is wealth and financial security, are those things relevant for the marriage?
Okay, so good stuff. What do you think of couples who go into it thinking that they, you know, oh, it's gonna be 50-50? And I've heard like sometimes you might have to do the 80% and the other person is doing 20, you know, because of what's going on. You know, I think like people's expectations going into a marriage is it can be kind of off, don't you think?
Sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. I hear very often from women that they don't always know that it's okay to have expectations.
Mm.
So having expectations and discussing them are very, very relevant. You know, one of the things you talked about in your introduction was singles and being comfortable with yourself as a single.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very relevant in that process that you know what your expectations are for when you are no longer single.
Mm.
So to be clear about what you are looking for. 50-50, is anything 50-50?
Right.
In reality, is anything 50-50? 50-50 love. Is that the song? You know, right. Is anything 50-50? 60-40, 70-30, 80-20? I would say that as long as there is a period where in this instance, it may be 60-40, but on a month from now, we dealing in 80-20 because somebody is pulling longer shifts at work or somebody is sick or what have you. As long as the ball continues to roll and we can come back around and communicate that there is an issue or somebody is feeling like they're just left out.
Okay.
As long as you can do that. That's the key.
Okay.
All right. Because quite naturally, life.
Yeah, life happens. You know, it's like with Clay. You know, he's working. It was darn near midnight, but it's not as afternoons. Like from like 5 to, you know, something between 1 and 3 in the morning. You know, so, and it's like, cause you know, and I work, you know, from 8:30 to 5. So it's hard to, you know, get that alone time in, you know, and he's doing some Saturdays and I mean, it's just harder because before the other job, you know, we were both working the same shifts, you know, but yeah, it's I can see where, you know, I'm like, okay, I can probably do this a little bit more. I know that he's working more, you know, instead of, you know, getting upset, you know, just stepping it up a little bit, you know.
And then also communicating, you know, at times, if that is the case, right? Sometimes you're working extra hours and you're picking up extra shifts because it's available, right? What are we working towards? What's our goal? I think it's very relevant for a couple to create a vision board. Create a vision board. Me and my husband, we are in a group. And that group, we create a vision board individually every single year.
Okay.
Plan it out. The same way we make vision boards individually for ourselves, make one for your marriage.
I like that. A marriage vision board. I like that. I really like that. I was talking about vision boards on do another podcast with a couple of friends of mine. We were talking about vision boards and I like that. Doing a marriage vision board. Okay. That's something we will implement. I like that. Okay. So you guys, Saida, do you offer I know where everybody's like Zoom and stuff like that. Do you counsel out of state or no?
No, I do not counsel out of state. I do some consulting for certain things.
Okay.
So, you know, if anyone wants to know exactly what they are, they can feel free to reach out. But I do mainly do my therapy within Michigan.
Okay.
You know, but anyone is welcome to reach out, contact through the website, looking me up on Facebook or Instagram, either one.
Okay. And those of you who are in Michigan, in the Metro Detroit area, again, as mentioned in the intro, that Saida, her practice is in Southfield and is called Focus Therapy Clinic. And again, you can reach her on Facebook and Instagram at the same handles at Focus Therapy Clinic. And your podcast, how often does that air and where do it air?
So it's on the Apple
podcast
app and then on Spotify. And it is once a week.
And then the name of that is
Fix Your Focus. Let's Chat Therapy with Saida.
Okay. And that primarily, you said you're talking with women.
Yeah, empowerment things for women.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we need to be nice. Check that out.
Next level.
Okay. All right. Check that out. I'm gonna check that out as well. All right, Saida. Any last words you want to leave with my audience before we wrap up here?
Well, you know, definitely thank you for having me. Aww. If anybody feels like anything that we discussed resonates with them and they want additional help, either fixing some things, making sure that everything is nice and tidy, or just getting back on track with their partner or their spouse, or even, you know, if you're still in the dating phase, definitely feel free to reach out.
All right, y'all, you heard her. Reach out. And again, I just want to reiterate, you know, if you are in, you know, you're engaged, that premarital counseling is key. It is. It's key. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Saida, again, for I'm always like with my closing and my wrap up, I have to get that tight. Okay. Because, you know, I can go on and I just gotta, that's my 2021 thing to do, just to tighten that up. But thank you so much for blessing us with your presence and with your wisdom and your knowledge on this particular subject. Again, anybody that's listening, you are in the Detroit area, Metro Detroit area, and you have you just want to talk to somebody, you know, therapy, especially in the Black community, y'all, we got to do better. It's good to talk to people. It really is. It's a weight off your shoulders, so that way, you know, you don't have to carry that around. So Saida Spencer Artist is available for your family needs, your individual needs, and just holler at her. Okay. Thank you so much, and we are going to come at you again next week with, again, I spoke with a sex therapist, and it's talking about marriage and sex, y'all. It was good. All right, so thank you so much, everyone, and I just want you to enjoy the rest of your day, okay? Bye.
Bye-bye.
Picking it with K and Clay.